Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, welcome back. Do not forget, we will be doing Festivus Friday this afternoon at 5 o'clock, the airing of the grievances. Last week, it was mostly traffic grievances, so try to put those on hold this week, and we'll go in different directions this week, all right? A story here from ABC News. Students from around the country left their classrooms yesterday to bring increased awareness to mass shootings in schools. Days after, 19 elementary school students and two teachers were killed in a mass shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas. Students at schools across the country staged walkouts to protest gun violence. In Michigan, for example, students at Oxford High School, where a school shooting occurred there in November, staged a walkout at noon yesterday. Four students were killed in that shooting last November.
We are thrilled to welcome back to the program once again Dr. Danielle Johnson, a PhD, who works in the mental health realm with the University of Kansas Health System. And I was thinking we were going to wait until Tuesday to have this conversation, but I had a chat with a friend today, and doctor, I think today is the day we have to have this conversation. The news keeps getting worse. I have dear friends of mine who, and I know everyone listening is probably in this boat, really, really struggling today with the onslaught of just devastating news about this. And I guess, what do you tell people, adults and children alike?
Yeah, and that's a great question, Dana, because I think we're all struggling with this. We've all been impacted, you know, locally with Olathe East. Actually, my postdoc, her cousins went to Oxford High School in Michigan. And so I think we've all had these stories of what do we do with this news, and how do we handle even more news about the Texas shooting and kind of learning the time frame. And those are just really hard things to kind of grapple with. And I think step one is to talk about it. I think for us adults, especially those that are parents, we have our other parent friends that we can talk to and kind of really understand what that's like to drop your kid off and have concerns. How are they going to do throughout the day? Will they be there when I come to pick them up? But to really talk to each other as adults. And as parents, we've got to talk to our kids. And it's age appropriate. So for a kindergartner, that conversation is going to be much different than a middle schooler or a high schooler. And I really recommend for those younger kids just to ask your kids, do you have any questions? What do you know about these things? Are you worried about them? And have this ongoing dialogue as it needs to happen to make sure that your kids are doing okay, and to make sure your kids know they can always come to you or grandparents or aunts and uncles, that there's a village around them that's there to support them and keep them safe as best as we possibly can.
Doctor, I was amazed this morning watching the news, which is my job, the unbelievable maturity, mental maturity that I heard from fourth graders, third graders and fourth graders in Uvalde, Texas. They were talking with some reporters, I think it was either on CNN or Fox. I can't remember which one I was watching at the time. Mm-hmm. And just the mental clarity. Now, they were also fourth graders and were saying, I'm afraid, and what I saw, this, that, blah, blah, blah. But just how well they comprehended what can only be described as an absolute tragedy.
Yeah. And I think because of, if you go back to Newtown, Columbine, these children have grown up having, I think Olathe calls it the ALICE, active shooter training, where these kids at kindergarten learn about how to be safe. If someone comes in the building that's a bad guy and they're trying to do harm, what will we do to be safe? So these kiddos from the ages of 5 and 6 have an understanding of bad things could happen to them, and at school, this is what we do to be safe. So it is, it's remarkable, but it's also, you know, it's disheartening at the same time that these fourth graders that are, you know, 9 and 10 have an understanding of how to keep themselves safe and what to do and to be composed during this because they've been trained to do this, which is where we're at in the world right now.
Is mental health more of an issue? Is it more prevalent in 2022 than it was when you and Dana and I were growing up?
I don't think, and the research doesn't support that it's more prevalent. It's just more acknowledged. Rates of depression, anxiety in the last 2 years, secondary to COVID, yes, we're seeing an increase. But overall, there's not an onslaught because it's, you know, 2022. It's because we actually acknowledge and address that, you know, our brain is connected to the rest of our body. And it's important. And I was telling a friend actually earlier that, you know, we have, you know, multiple organs. We have, you know, 2 kidneys. If one shuts down, we can still keep going. But we only have 1 brain. And we're just now kind of, as a society, recognizing that our brain does matter and our emotions do matter. Yeah. And that there's support, that there's medications, there's therapy, there's things to help in those cases. If you have diabetes, you take your medication. You don't kind of play around with that. But we somehow have not kind of grappled with the fact that mental health is just as important as the rest of our body.
So what do you say to the adults outside of just turn off the TV? And I got to a point yesterday, I was so worked up and panicked. Yeah. And, you know, because of our job, we can't shut it off all the time. But I talked to a friend of mine who was just sobbing today. And I don't know the answer. It's not going to change anything if you're watching it or not watching it, but you feel like almost you have an obligation to be keeping up with what's happening there.
Yeah. And I say balance. So you guys are kind of unable to be as balanced as the rest of us because of your job, but having some balance, being aware of what's happening, having some updates, and that may come in the form of, I'm going to look at a news bulletin that gives me the highlights. But that other piece of that is also then taking care of yourself, going for a walk, spending time with friends and loved ones, talking to your family, doing things that actually kind of fill your emotional tank, because this news is depleting our tanks, completely depleting our tanks. So if we can find some ways to actually fill our tank with the greatness in the world that's still there, that can help provide some balance to the horrible information we're all kind of dealing with right now.
Well, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but the last 2 nights, I must confess, we have found ourselves at our home switching over to reruns of 2 and a Half Men. I mean, I needed some brainless, sophomoric humor just to forget what was going on. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I call that balance. That is balance. What will you do to kind of create a safe, humorous place in your world? Because there's some hard stuff that we're dealing with. So we've got to have some balance. And maybe that's, you know, a nice steak dinner and a glass of red wine. Maybe that, again, is going for a walk. Maybe that's, you know, calling a friend and just laughing with them, but finding that balance.
Dr. Danielle Johnson with the University of Kansas Health System, always appreciate your expertise and your time. Thank you for it.
Thank you guys so much and take care.
All right, you do the same. Be well. We're going to open up the phone lines. We had Captain Terman in the 2 o'clock hour and Dr. Johnson here for the last 10 minutes or so. We've neglected to give you an opportunity to weigh in. The news today from the news conference was worse than we thought it was yesterday, and yesterday was bad enough. We learned today that the shooter was in the school for 1 hour and 19 minutes before he was killed. 1 hour and 19 minutes. We learned that at 12:16, 45 minutes after this started, with another 35 minutes to go, that a student called from the classroom and said there were 8 or 9 students in the classroom still alive, plus her. We've also learned that for about 50 minutes, there were 19 police officers standing outside the classroom door, but they were told not to breach the door by the chief of police of the school district's police department while he waited for more equipment and more backup. 19 police officers standing in that hallway for 50 minutes. It's not good. Clearly, it's not good. I see the phone lines were already jammed. We will get to everybody here in just a moment on Dana and Parks. Keep in mind, I want to be clear, we don't bash the police on this show. We are bashing this police response on this show.
The police are bashing the police response on this show.
So I want to make sure we make that distinction. There is one more clip that we haven't played yet from Colonel Stephen McCraw with the Texas Department of Public Safety. It's a quick one. It runs about 12 seconds long. And this is the last one that we have that we haven't played yet.
Obviously, you know, based upon the information we have, there were children in that classroom that were at risk, and it was, in fact, still an active shooter situation and not a barricaded subject.
All right. It was the chief of police for the school district that made the decision not to breach that classroom, even though he had 19 officers standing outside of the room for 50 minutes. Susie in Lenexa. Susie, hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a point. Out of all the coverage on this tragic ordeal, how come no one's questioning the gun owner, or not the gun owner, the gun shop person that sold this kid these guns? Because I think if I owned a gun shop and a recently turned 18-year-old walked in and bought a bunch of AR-8, 16, 15, whatever they are, in the ammo, I would probably call the police to alert them of this. Even though they bought them legally. But still, that's a red flag.
His grandfather, Brent, said that he did not know. And I tend to believe the grandfather because, number one, this idiot shot the grandmother in the face. And number two, the grandfather said in an earlier interview, I am a felon that is not allowed to have weapons. I don't want anywhere near them because I cannot be a felon in possession. If I had known he had bought these weapons, trust me, I would have called somebody because I can't legally have them in my house.
Yeah. To your point, though, and Susie, certainly appreciate the call and the question, he didn't break the law. And alerting, by the way, Texas had an opportunity to pass so-called red flag laws several years ago, and the legislature said no, they rejected it. But calling the police to report legal behavior is not going to get the attention of the police. Hi, I'd like, and Susie, I'm not making fun of your call. I'm just trying to point out, if we want that to be illegal behavior, we're going to have to change the law. Because an 18-year-old buying these weapons in Texas, and quite frankly, in most states, many states at least, is not illegal, and the police are not interested in investigating legal behavior.
Well, assuming there's a need for some sort of psych evaluation, I can't imagine this 18-year-old person walked in there and was calm and happy and, oh yeah, I'd like to grab an AR-15 today. There were probably signs that he was emotionally distraught. And where does that come into play? And where does it fall on the responsibility of the person making the decision to sell that gun?
Fair.
Similar to over-serving somebody at a bar.
Fair point. Fair point, Sam. Brent in Liberty. Brent, hello.
Hi, how you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
Well, I'd like to preface my comment by saying I'm a 34-year educator in the state of Missouri. I'm currently serving as a superintendent in a small rural district in Missouri. And I think there's a couple things that we need to look at in this situation. I've been through a lot of school safety training, and more than I would have ever imagined when I started this job 34 years ago. But here's two observations. One, I think the COVID shutdown put everybody in suspended animation, if you will. And I think when we've been coming out of that, we haven't probably had our focus. I know one of your earlier guests, I think it was the police captain, said that everybody thinks it's not going to happen here. And I think when you take a break and you're shut down for the last quarter of one school year and you spend the whole next year trying to get kids caught up and move ahead at the same time, it distracts all of us. And the other thing that I noticed in watching the videos, that was a pod-based campus. In other words, you'd have a building for the second grade. You'd have a building for the third grade. You'd have a building for the fourth grade. And none of those buildings were connected by an internal hallway. And most of your school safety training, at least what I have been through, says one way in, one way out, and it's easier to control who comes in and who comes out your building. And that had to be a nightmare for the police on the scene to even know where to get started. And I know you could hear gunshots and all that stuff, and I'm not going to criticize one police officer for what they did or what they didn't do. It had to be a disaster for them, because those men and women are never going to be the same again. And that's something we need to know. And second of all, those teachers are never going to be the same again. Of course, the one whose husband had a fatal heart attack the next day, it is truly a heartbreaking situation from so many different directions.
Brent, thank you for what you've done over these 34 years. Do appreciate your call.
Well, thank you for having me.
Be well, my friend.
We need more people like Brent, but I do wonder, and I say this every time one of these things happens, there will be a tipping point for so many of our educators.
I think we're at it.
And I think we're at it. And I think this, on top of the pandemic and on top of everything we ask them to do with very little support and resources, is this the tipping point for some of our educators out there listening? And we ask them to do too much.
For too little.
For too little.
Yeah. My evidence is only anecdotal, but the people that I do know in education, my brother not included, because we don't really talk about this kind of stuff when we're hanging out. We talk about heavy metal. But the people in town that I know who are in education, to a person, will tell me, be prepared, because in the next 2 years, we are going to have a real shortage of teachers in the United States. Be ready, because it is coming. Let's go to Joe in Overland Park. Joe, hello, my friend.
Hey, guys. Two things. One, we've always been told turn in your guns because the cops only need them and they'll be here to protect you. This is the reason 100 million gun owners will never turn theirs in, that they don't trust that they're going to get the one cop that is going to protect them.
Or the 17 standing outside, Joe. And
exactly.
But I also cannot fathom a conversation with a straight face that we just start arming teachers. Again, we cannot ask them to do that. And Captain Terman, who was in here earlier, said, look, if you look at national statistics on trained police officers who fire at a suspect, the initial hit rate is very low. Mm-hmm. These are trained police officers. Right. The rate at which they strike a target is low. And so now we're going to ask our teachers, who are not as well trained and who should not be focused on things like firearms in the classroom, to protect that weapon from the accidental discharge or a kid finding it and getting shot or someone in high school overpowering them and getting their hands on that weapon. We're also going to ask them, oh, by the way, since all of these idiots are wearing bulletproof vests, we need you to shoot accurately toward the head. Can you do that in between your planning period, please?
Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798. We'll get to a couple more of your calls and your comments right after the news here on Dana and Parks.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're going to move on to some other topics in the 4 o'clock hour of the program, not the least of which is some semi-truck drivers in the Kansas City area who are frustrated getting kicked out of a parking lot overnight while they were trying to rest.
Were they in Peterbilt, Kansas?
They were not. They were not. There is no Peterbilt, Kansas.
They were actually in Volvo. Sorry.
They were in Volvo, Kansas, which is near Peterbilt and Mercatus.
West of Ford. Missed that yesterday. Asked Trooper Ben where Peterbilt, Kansas was, and lo and behold, Peterbilt is a truck.
Who knew?
Pretty well-known truck company, too, honestly.
I believe their names on a lot of...
I thought he said I've never been to Peterbilt, and during the break, I looked at Scott, and I go, look up Peterbilt, Kansas? Where the hell is that? He looked at me, and he goes, what? That's a truck. That's not a destination.
You don't ever look at the mud flaps when you drive by a big truck?
No. I'm making sure they see me and I see them.
Well, Peterbilt's like on a lot of the trucks.
Well, but I also thought it might be a town name. He said, I've never installed
a car seat in Peterbilt.
Man, you're circling around to the smaller towns, don't you? Let's go to Wyatt, who's calling in from Stanley. Wyatt, good afternoon. Hello, my friend.
Good afternoon. How are you, sir?
We're doing quite well. Man, did you ever have a career in radio, my friend?
No, I had a face for radio, but unfortunately, that's as far as it ever went.
Man.
Well, welcome, Wyatt.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to ask, and I think the colonel in the Texas Department of Public Safety brought it out, as investigations always do, who ultimately made the decision. And that was the chief of police of the school district police in Texas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think there's a reasonable question to ask, what was this individual's background? What were his qualifications? You know, how large the school district police was?
I can answer that. The school district police department had 6 members.
And I rest my case.
Yeah.
You know, ultimately, if the school district, and this then falls at the feet of the school, the superintendent and the school board, if they decide they want to go that way and give someone the responsibility of being a chief of police of a law enforcement agency that they employ, then they're basically giving him the authority to make decisions like he made and have to live with the consequences.
You know what? You bring up an interesting point. I've never understood, and we do have here locally school districts with their own police departments, if you will. I know that Shawnee Mission School District at least has cars that say Shawnee Mission School District Police Department. I know that the former police chief in Overland Park became their chief of police, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Why not just have the you know, if you're going to have officers dedicated to certain schools, you know, whether it be Shawnee Mission North or Blue Valley North or Olathe East or whatever, they're actual members of the department of the city for which that police department or that school finds itself.
Well, as all questions, I think it really comes down to money. The school district wants additional uniformed officers and are willing to pay for it, where the city or the county, depending on the jurisdiction, don't want to.
Don't want to give it up.
Don't want to give it up. And years ago, Overland Park assigned a uniformed officer to the Blue Valley High School. At that time, Blue Valley was not in the city of Overland Park. It was in the county. And that problem eventually worked itself out. But, you know, what most people I don't think realize is the SROs, or school resource officers, are generally employees of the either the local police department or the county sheriff's office. But there is a another officer possibly there that's a member of the school district police. And, you know, whether that money is being reasonably spent or just frittered away to give someone else a an empire for them to build is a question every jurisdiction is going to have to answer for themselves.
Wyatt, let me stop you there just because we got a full board. I appreciate the call, and you bring up some great points, and I thank you for it. Before we get to our next caller from the text line, 7171 writes, "We are a major metropolitan area criticizing the leadership of a school district police department in a city of 16,000 people in the middle of nowhere. They likely don't have the quality of caliber of personnel that we might have." But here's what
they
we
have
do know.
Some of the highest caliber quality personnel in the Border Special Ops Elite Unit, who eventually, after more than an hour, went in and took this guy out. These are some of the most elite trained officers in the country.
But they're referring to the school district's police department.
Yes, and but they were all there.
Yep, and the Uvalde, Texas Police Department. I'm not going to say just because you're a town of 16,000 people that you can't have a quality police department. There are plenty of small towns around the Kansas City metropolitan area that are 16,000 or less and still have a good police department.
And up until 72 hours ago, I think 99% of people listening that you would ask would have said they are all trained in the same manner.
That's right.
That's why this is so shocking. And if you missed the 2 o'clock hour with Captain Terman, he said from the feds all the way down to the rank and file, police officers are shocked by this.
Yes.
Horrified by this.
There were 19 police officers in the hallway waiting for 50 minutes because the police chief would not allow them to breach the door. That cannot be said enough. That is a huge problem and a huge mistake. Gregory in Lenexa.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
We are well, my friend. Thank you for asking.
So I don't have any kids, so I don't really have any skin in the game, other than the statement that you just made with regards to all these people being outside the door. I don't understand, police or not, I don't understand how they just, and kids were being shot while they were outside the door, correct?
Correct.
There were gunshots while they were outside the door, and they were aware that there were children still alive inside, yes.
How do they not, you know, look, if I'm that police officer and my chief says no, I'm saying, you know, screw you, I'm going in, somebody get my back, because I'm not standing here while kids are getting killed. Maybe I'm going to die in the process, but I'm not waiting because kids are getting killed right now. And, you know, maybe I'll, you know, but maybe one of you guys will get them. But I'm going in.
Well, the parents were screaming, let us go in. At least one mom was arrested. One father, I believe, was pepper sprayed. The mom ends up getting out of the handcuffs because she knew a local Uvalde police officer, ran toward the school, jumped the fence, went in, and pulled her own two kids out. There are also reports today, and you can't fault them for doing this, Scott, that some police officers went in and got their own kids out.
Yeah, that's a problem.
It is. Do you fault them for that? Well, now that we know there were 17 waiting outside that door, there is rage about that.
And there should be. There is going to be weeks and weeks of analyzing this case. And I should say, what went wrong with this case? I don't think there is a law enforcement official in the country who can look at what happened. Even the director of the Texas Department of Public Safety today said that police chief made the wrong decision. Wrong decision. Somebody says armchair quarterbacking police officers is worse than the day after a Chiefs game. It should be, because it in a Chiefs game, people don't die.
Amen.
Dustin in Green Valley. Dustin, hello.
Oh, my blood is boiling. You're darn right we're armchairing police officers. As a teacher, you're darn right I'm mad about this entire thing. I apologize for coming in a little rage, but that text just got under my skin just a little bit.
Just don't say bad words. I want to hear what you have to say. Don't say something that's going to make me kick you off the air.
I promise you I won't. Okay. I have a teacher filter. two things. First, lighthearted. Dana, I know how much you like stand-up comedy, if I can get the words out.
Yes.
Look up Jim Jeffries' Gun Control.
Oh, God. Okay.
You're going to laugh, I promise. But I'm going back to what Dana mentioned earlier, because after this, there's so many people that comes out, and Texas has already okayed it. We should put guns in the teachers' hands. I want to map something out real quick. I've been teaching for 8 years. You go to school for 4 years to learn how to teach. You learn your content. Many of them don't stop there. They go on to get a master's. That's another 2 or 3 years. A lot of them go on specialist, doctorate, to learn how to teach. They don't trust them to teach what they went to school for years upon years to learn. And then they want to go through a shooting class for a gun control class, and then they expect them to be okay having a live gun in the classroom with an unpredictability of youth. There's so much liability in having a gun in a classroom.
Yes.
And that whole argument just screams ignorance to me.
Yeah, Dustin, I don't mean to interrupt you. I've seen a lot of the posts going around Facebook today from people in your profession saying, you don't trust me to teach what I went to college to learn how to teach your kid, but you want me to have a gun to protect your kid, and I don't really know how to use it.
No, and 100%, and I'm a gun enthusiast. I own guns. I know how to use guns. I would never want a gun in my classroom.
No.
You know, and the other post that this week has really hit me hard was, there is not one teacher out there that has not looked in their room to figure out, what am I going to do in case of an active shooter?
Dustin, I was just going to ask you that. How many times do you look at your classroom and think, how do I get out of here? How do I get the kids out?
All the time. And it's more and more anymore. And we have drills. The kids, you know, when we have like a fire drill or tornado drill, the kids will talk a little bit, you know, and I'll tell them, it's okay, just don't be loud, no big deal. When we have an active intruder drill, I have to explain to them that, guys, I'm taking this very serious, because if this was the fact a real thing, I need you guys to be silent, because not only am I listening for instructions, I'm listening for an intruder. And I tell them, I'm not doing this to scare you, but at that point in time, I am your protection and you are under my guidance. And I'm going to do everything in my power to keep you safe, but I have to be able to hear and acknowledge everything that's around me.
All right, Dustin, do appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you for it. Quick break. We've got the news coming up at the top of the hour. Understand that the governor of Texas is about to make some remarks here. We'll try to bring at least a portion of that to you here on Dana and Parks. All right, we'll wrap up our discussion regarding the school shooting this week in Uvalde, Texas. The news today was even worse than we had anticipated. The shooter was in the school for 1 hour and 19 minutes. and there were 19 police officers standing outside the doorway in the hallway of that school for 50 minutes. Under orders from the school district police chief, they were told not to breach the classroom, even though students were calling 911, letting them know that there were students still alive inside. Did they all survive? We don't know. Were some wounded and didn't survive at that point? We don't know that yet either. 913-586-7798. Don't forget Festivus Friday coming your way right after the 5 o'clock news. Let's go to Mike in Kansas City. Hello, Mike.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you guys?
We're doing quite well. Thank you for asking.
I don't know if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but my thought is there's a lot of vets that need a job, and they are trained to attack, not wait. And I think if they had something that would give them a job and a purpose, I think that's the way to go.
All right, Mike. Hey, do appreciate the call. Somebody asked me earlier on the text line, asked us earlier on the text line, do you think that we are going to have armed security at public schools or at all schools in America? I think we're probably headed that way. Now, whether those are police or whether or not they are some sort of security outfit from either private corporations or from the federal government, I don't know which direction we're headed in that regard, but in the foreseeable future, yes. But you have to remember, this is going to cost a ton of money. Now, at what life or at what cost a student's life, right? Okay, and that's a great point. There is no cost.
There were armed officers at Columbine. There were armed officers at Parkland.
There were 19 armed officers.
And there were 19 armed officers here. Throwing money at something that already exists that is not helping makes no sense to me. Throwing additional billions, if not trillions of dollars, makes no sense to me. We need the will and the gall.
Courage.
And the courage to stop with the shiny objects and have a real discussion about what is really causing this. And until we do, this will keep happening.
Keep in mind, and Sam looked this up earlier this week, in these United States, there are 130,000 private and public K through 12 schools. 130,000. Anna in Gardner. Anna, hello.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing well. Thank you for asking.
So I am a school psychologist in Kansas schools, not in Gardner, and I am a mother of four. And I went back to become a school psychologist maybe like 4 years ago, probably specifically because of this issue, because this is something that I wanted to be a part of helping to address. But I disagree wholeheartedly with some of the arguments that you guys are making against allowing educators to have access to protect our schools. Our schools cannot be soft targets. They cannot be places that are not safe. And there are plenty of people and educators, maybe not the ones that are calling in, that will step up and take care of their own and will protect their children. And as speaking as a mother and as a person that works in education, allowing us to access weapons to protect our school is something that we have to do because there's not enough time for police officers to get there. They don't know the buildings. They don't know the layouts. It doesn't have to be in the classroom.
But Anna, real quick, and we're up against a break. Texas has that law. Texas has the law to arm those teachers.
Do the teachers have access to a weapon within the building? Do they have, like, let's say, because they can put what a fingerprint? Where
sure.
That's the only person that can shoot the gun. You allow them. You train them. This is what happens in a situation, and you do that because.
Okay. All right, I have to stop you there because you can hear the music. We've got to get.
I'm just saying, Texas has the law. Teachers are welcome to be armed.
Quick break for the news here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime. at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.